Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I thought you'd find this interesting. Did you know?
What's that?
That in New Jersey, this nice state of New Jersey, they are now banning smiles in driver's license photos.
What?
You can't smile when you get your driver's license.
You cannot write this.
I cannot write this. Serious.
You know how hard it is to find a smile nowadays? It's just hard. It's hard to find a smile as it is. Unless you take a mirror and put it and let the person look at themselves, they smile when they see themselves. I mean, you watch it. They'll look at you. Their face is so long they can eat oats from a tailpipe. But you take you flip a mirror real quick, like in front of them, buddy, they just light up like I don't know what. And I pull it away, and all of a sudden they just like eat notes from a telephone. I was like, that is so unfair.
That's
you know,
right.
You give yourself a smile, but you're not giving anybody else a smile.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's just time for the church to smile. We need to show both our teeth. You know what I'm saying? We need to show both our teeth. Listen, Bubba, we need to show both our teeth.
You know? Yeah.
No, seriously. go ahead. Yeah. Especially yours, since you did that whitening stuff on yours, man.
There's a valid explanation for this.
Yeah, facial recognition, I'm sure.
You nailed it. Because
thank God sanguines will never be identified. It'll be just Mel.
So just,
told
just
you should have smiled. They can't find us. You know, they're smiling. So it is facial recognition?
It is facial recognition.
I mean, you can definitely recognize a sad face. I mean, it's like, yeah, I've seen that before.
Oh, that's right.
But I can tell with your smile, man, you put so much money into bleaching them teeth. I mean, I could barely look at you this morning. It's just so bright.
Natural, man. Natural. I can't just, hey.
Not Clorox? What? I mean, what is that stuff? Like white strips? Teeth strips? What is that? What is that stuff?
Is it really natural? I keep telling you, it's natural.
What are those chemicals? You know, when I was in Jersey, that was the plant next door. It wasn't your toothbrush. Nah. You would really be deceived about Jersey if you let people tell you about Jersey, because you got to go to Jersey. I mean, you'll be shocked. People in Jersey are shocked when they travel two or three blocks away. There's a lot of people in the city. They don't, believe it or not, they will live their whole life, some people, and they will not leave. I mean, you don't really have to. I mean, things that we have within 10 miles, they have within two blocks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, but.
The convenience factor, but New Jersey does get a bad rep. There are some beautiful, beautiful places in New Jersey.
You know, the first thing that I saw, you know, the first time I ever saw New Jersey, you know, I was headed to, driving up the Garden State Parkway. You think Garden State Parkway? Oh my goodness, this has got to be the most beautiful thing about the hit, right? Mm-hmm. That came off of 95, head north, and then I'm coming through, and the first thing I see in Jersey is like this 200. Yard high pile of trash. The dump was right on the side of the road. I mean, that was back then. Don't they have it now? I would guess, but it was like the Perdido landfill down south, you know. And they had just where they carried their trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, and birds were swinging, flying on the top. I'm like, this is Jersey. Why would you put that on your main road coming in? You know what I'm saying? You should put something other than that, you know, on there. And then. But if you go west, of course, that's just that was then on the Garden State Parkway. And then, of course, I got to go to Rosaryville and all those places out there. Yeah. As I was studying to be a community organizer later, more available on VFN radio in the future. Yes, I used to be a community organizer. And shocker. But I repented and explained to my pastor at the time was like, we don't need to be doing this. This is not God. This is not God. And so I meant good or God, either one. He says he's good and he's God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, make it through the, obviously the landfill was first the Garden State Parkway, but then you see the beautiful area. It's this country dairies out there, dairy farms.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you just go for days. It's just beautiful. And the colors and all the weather and, I mean, they have all the seasons out there, and it's just really, really beautiful. I mean,
it is beautiful. West New Jersey, it's gorgeous on the way towards Pennsylvania. I mean, you see some beautiful farmland, and it's just weird. The whole state has its own different feel. South Jersey is a whole lot different from the Central Jersey. Then when you get up to North Jersey, you know, it takes on more of what looks like in New York City. It's where I'm located, but it's New Jersey is a great melting pot. It's the most populated city in most populated state in the country. I don't know if you know that, Pat. Most populated state in the country. based upon the miles and all that type of stuff.
Well, it definitely was populated where we were at, but I loved it because I liked the fact that you can just walk one block, you know, and be eating beautiful Cuban cuisine, and then you can walk another block and you could be eating that pork shoulder. Was that pork shoulder we had? What was that?
Pork roast. Pork shoulder, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, man. I don't know how you stay so thin.
Our bilingual listeners here today.
What's that?
Bad knee for our bilingual listeners.
Yeah, bad knee. The right?
Not exactly.
Okay. The but yeah, so
you liked it.
Oh my goodness, it was very good, and I just like the family feel. You know, when you go there, it's just like it's like it needs to be community and all that. Sad thing is that the communities don't. You got entire cultures within certain blocks, and then you go a couple more blocks, and you got an entire culture. And these cultures don't even cross. So we become, instead of a integrated, e pluribus unum, multicultural, under one culture of America, sometimes it seems like we just let ourselves be divided by our own culture that we brought with us.
Sure.
And it's like, why do we, you know, don't we need to really submit that to the American culture and then somehow integrate it into our day-to-day lives and honor it, but not to leave, not, why would we come to America if we wanted to change America?
Yeah.
So I was saying this, you know, if you wanted to marry me, you liked me when you married me, but now you married me, you want to change me, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people have married America, and they're saying, listen, I married you because I was planning on changing you. I wanted you to become more like me. And it's like, but it was the very thing about America that attracted you.
Yeah.
The free enterprise, e pluribus unum, that everybody has a right. Though we're many, we're one. Out of many, we're one. Mm-hmm. That everybody has a chance to succeed, and that you can worship God freely. Nobody's going to oppress you, and no matter what your background is, I mean, you have the same fair shot.
Yeah, and embrace the language. I think a lot of times, especially with the older generation, when they come on over and they come from a different country, they stay real comfortable with the language that they know, the culture that they know, and the first thing they try to do is move into a culture that's very similar to where they came from. I mean, if you look at, like, there's a it's a city here in New Jersey that is the most populated culture of Koreans, and it's actually marketed in South Korea as the place to go in New Jersey. It's near Fort Lee. But it's, you know, you want to get outside of yourself. You want to get outside of your culture and really embrace the fullness of what America has. You don't want a little Italy or a little whatever. I mean, those things, those places are cool and it's awesome, but you want to embrace the fullness of what the country has, and step outside, learn the language. Because if you don't learn the language, you know,
well, why did you marry me? If you didn't want to marry me, you shouldn't have married me.
Yeah.
You know, and part of marrying America is saying, I want to become one in alignment with the United States Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you got to read it instead of people telling you to do away with it before you read it. It's the very fact that there is a constitution that allowed us all to be here.
Because
everybody's an immigrant.
That's right.
Yeah, everybody that's right. Came over, you know, at some point in time in our generations, you know. Somebody called Dad and I up, and they were trying to track our genealogy. I'm not really into tracking genealogy, but you know, you find I was joking. I said, well, anyway. So they call us up, and we go over to meet them, and they're telling us about, you know, somebody so-and-so back up at so-and-so before this happened. And it was in, you know, Richmond, Virginia. And then y'all came over on the boat from England or something like that. And, of course, jokingly, I looked at him. I said, oh, my goodness. Your family own my family. And it's like, you know, it's terrible when you look at the history of what's going on. I really don't want. I want to repent for the sins of a father. I don't want to revisit them and put them in some museum somewhere. You know, I meant that, you know, Ezekiel lets us know that if we before God, you know, do what's right in our generation, that we do not have to have our father's sins attached to us.
That's right.
And so, you know, with that, you know, we need to deal with it. You know, redigging the wells, what just happened up in Birmingham was important to be able to deal with it. But you know what? That we can move on, you know, past that. And so some of the things that I saw in the context of that was, you know, that You find out good things about your family history and genealogy, sure. And you find out. But I found this is what you're going to be shocked. What I found out about the family, you're going to be totally 100% shocked.
Lay
that
on.
My great 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 grandfather and his wife that you know, they had a relationship with God, and every day they were talking to him, and I mean, he just treated them well. They didn't even have to work. They just kind of just tended the garden. He did everything for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were spoiled. They had everything made for them. And then he told them, he said, listen, you can have everything here. Everything here you want. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, it's, you know, I'm going to reign up here in heaven. You reign down there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll take dominion in heaven. You take dominion on earth. It's all yours. Name the animals, whatever you want to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just don't eat from that tree over there. And if I could have been in that garden. Granddaddy, no, this is good. Don't even want to go. Don't do it. And you know what he did? Let me tell you what, Mike.
What did he do?
Grandfather Adam and Grandma Eve, they chowed down on some apple pie, and he told them not to eat that stuff. And at that point, we had to move out of that garden. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, we've been wandering on the face of the earth until one day, you know, God saw our plight. Mm-hmm. He knew it was my great 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 grandfather's fault. You know,
right.
No, it was all of our fault. And so, because we just kept on doing it, you know, when I first met Pat, he had like apple all over his face.
All over it.
Yeah, Chris was smoking the apple. And
that's a reference to yesterday's program. If you missed it, you don't want to miss it.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, people joke about that. But when I was in law enforcement, people would use an apple to smoke things anyway. And so he saw our plight, and so he said, I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to make a way for you, and he sent his son Jesus to be able to die and pay for all the things that Adam did, Grandpa Adam, and all the one things that happened between now and then. And so with that, you know, it's at that point that I no longer had to live out my father's sins. Mm-hmm. I no longer had to live out my sins.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what happens at the cross. And if you acknowledge Jesus Christ and you're trying to, you know, you said that you dealt with your sin at the cross and you laid it down and you said, God, it was wrong. I'm sorry. You know, forgive me for it. God's forgiven you for it. And if men keep reminding you of it, they're the ones who have to deal with that sin in their heart, because all have sinned. All of our great, great grandfathers got the same grandfather.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Grandma Eve and Grandpa Adam. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if that don't work for you, how about Grandpa Noah? Because everybody dies of him and his eight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we all came over on the boat. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that, you know, we've got, as Christians, we have to rediscover the awesomeness of the cross of Christ, and that the further you go back and studying your family, you know, and this is what Paul tells Timothy, you know, knock it off. You know, quit tracing endless genealogies and trying to find value in you know, your genealogy. But I can't, you know, if you've been devalued in yourself and your family, I can see where people would want to get some sort of, you know, roots and if somebody stole me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or somebody, you know, traded me at the hospital and I didn't find out till later on in life. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just speaking yesterday to somebody that said that he didn't find out his son wasn't his son until he was 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so in that, you know, his son may be able, you know, you see where he wanted to locate his father and that type of thing. You know, I understand that kind of stuff. Or the fact that if somebody took me and sold me and took me away from my land, you know, I want to find some connectivity, you know, to that. And I could totally relate to that. And as a matter of fact, I used to think a lot of things, but I used to say, you know, get over it until I got under it. Mm-hmm. But once I got under it, it's not as easy to get over as you think it is.
All right.
And I also used to say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps till I find out you can go without bootstraps. You don't have any to pull out. I reached down to grab some. There was nothing there, you know.
Nothing there.
But, you know, you hear people say, you know, I want to go back to my motherland. I want to go back to my fatherland. I want to go back, you know. And I say, well, you're America. Why would you want to go there? But there are generations that have come up that have never been there. It's not like somebody who just left their culture, that they're a particular nation, and then they swore an allegiance to the new culture of America. This is somebody that was, their history is like that. You know, and I couldn't connect to it. And the reason why I couldn't connect to it, because I couldn't, I wasn't walking in their, I couldn't see from their perspective.
Sure.
But then, one day, believe it or not, I am watching, I saw a video on probably a YouTube video or something of the talent show in Britain called Britain's Got Talent, right? Something like that. Something like that. Britain's Got Talent, probably. And then, you know, they're like singing and stuff and using their gifts and whatever their gifts are using. Some of them didn't have a gift, and I don't know what happened. And they were challenged and didn't know it. And but it was pretty interesting. But then they pan the camera through the crowd. And I looked at the crowd. I go, oh, those are my peoples. That's my people. That's they look like me.
Right.
They look, that's where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing feeling. See those white pasty dudes there? They look like me. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'd like to go hang out with my peoples for a little bit just to kind of see what it feels like. Do I want to leave America? No. Do I want America to leave me? No, I'm trying everything I can to keep from leaving us. And, but I can relate now because it's like, wow, they kind of look like me. You know, they just, you just sense that. And so when you look back and you see, I can relate to that now. I can relate to that. And when somebody says, you know, they're trying to connect to their culture, they're not saying I want to leave America. They just want to, you know, it just feels kind of cool to be around people like you, you know, and kind of people that kind of can relate to your life story. And quite often what you find out is when you get around people who look like you and where you came from, they don't act like you. And there's a reason why your great-great-grandfather left that land.
That's right. But okay, this was such a while. Gotta go.
It's
a lot of that connectivity happens, too, over food. It's amazing the unifying effect that food has. You know what I'm saying? You grow up eating a certain thing. And
I should be really unified.
Say that again?
I should be really unified.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know I am.
We were just talking about our tracking our genealogy and that it's important. The big thing is not to have pride in where we come from or shame in where we come from. And, you know, you can track it to a certain point and you can have pride. And then you can track it a little bit further and you can have shame. Keep tracking and you'll just turn to the cross because you find out, my goodness. You know, and he tells us this. This is just to add to that last part we're talking about. That if we don't live right, if we choose to live a contrary to God, if we live contrary to God, that we will, in addition to our sins, we will have our father's sins. And rest assured, everybody's genealogy, including our own, you know, selves, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if we live right, then that's the awesomeness of living right, because God says, you know, despite all these faults, all these mistakes and everything Pat did, that I'm not going to hold it against you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to put it on my son instead of you. So when the America starts saying we don't need God, they're pulling down the cross and they're pulling down, you know, the acknowledgement of God and Jesus Christ. Understand what that means is this. You forget about, you know, dreams from my father, start thinking about this, you know, sins of our fathers, because there is horrific things that have happened in every culture and in American culture. But of all the things that's happened in other countries and other nations, if you rank them side by side, America is still, with all of our faults, all of our mistakes, because the way that the founding fathers heard, obviously, from the Lord to be able to write our documents and the reason why we're declaring our independence from the king was we could actually make things right. Mm-hmm. We weren't stuck with some sort of constitution that said, you know, that, you know, women can't vote forever. Mm-hmm. When they realized, hey, this is not right, you know, not just landowners. And then they began, the people got together, and it's a government by the people and for the people. And they decided, America decided, that this is right. And so they made a decision based on the Constitution and gave all women the right to vote. And these things happen over and over and over again. All the, it's called mm-hmm. amendments to the Constitution. And that's what can happen. You know, they don't want to get rid of something that without that, that would have never happened, because you go to other countries and, you know, they're oppressing women. They're beating women. They're stoning mm-hmm. women. You know, we mm-hmm. played just this week an interview with, you know, the grandson of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he was being interviewed by the French, former French president. They weren't being interviewed, discussing on a talk show. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, about, he says, well, you know, it's kind of subjective or something of that nature. You can go back and hear it on the VFN Torch. But they, he says, well, so then stoning is something you wouldn't do. And he doesn't come out and say no. And it's like, at what point do you stop stoning the lady for, you know, that's the Sharia law.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.